Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. We get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense, maybe mix in some sarcasm here or there. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope that your Monday wasn't too incredibly painful. It is now behind us, and we are moving on, and I have even better news than that. If you are here in the good old United States of America, then you are about to have a holiday tomorrow for the 4th of July as we celebrate Independence Day here in the USA. Now, we are actually going to be talking just a little bit about July 4th a little bit later in the show, but you know, we can at least get through this week when we know that holiday is not too far off. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know. I don't know. Maybe what you're going to be blowing up for the holiday that is jammed right into the middle of this week, you can't do a whole lot on the holiday. Like if you leave, you got to come back and go back to work on Thursday. So, I don't know, just let us know what you're blowing up in your front yard. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a suggestion. You know, I actually received a message from a listener earlier this week that I want to read to you a little bit later. If you want to contact us, if you would like to chip into the show, we would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we've got a few things that we want to discuss in the world of breaking news. And like I said, I do want to talk just a little bit about that 4th of July holiday and what it means to us here in the States. Plus, want to talk a little bit about that move that we saw in the NBA with LeBron James going out to Los Angeles. Some interesting things there that we do want to touch on. But before we get to everything today here on The Dose, I do want to say one very, very important thing. Today, July 3rd, we are actually releasing our 300th episode of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Thank you. Thank you very much. We started the podcast back in December of 2014. It was just a weekly show. Last December, we moved to a daily show, and today is the 300th episode that we have done here at the podcast. You know, when I started this show, I literally had no plan. You can probably tell that I had no plan, you know, if you listen to the show very much. I figured we would do the show for a while, and then that would be that. Here we are closing in on almost 4 years, and with this being the big 300, I just wanted to say, and I know we say it at the end of every show, I wanted to say, thank you to all of those that listen. Thank you to all of those that contribute. I've had people reach out with emails, with texts, with messages on social media, say they're enjoying the show, or they give feedback, or maybe they ask a question. We've had guests stop by, discuss sports, and have fun goofing off here on the Daily Dose. I just want to say, on our 300th show today, I am grateful to all of you. I have no idea how long we're going to do the dose. I don't have a clue. I'm still having fun. And I hope that you are enjoying the show. And if there are people out there that are enjoying the Daily Dose, then I guess we'll just keep plugging away and just kind of keep trying to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports. But thank you all very much for allowing us to put out 300 episodes. It is appreciated. Okay, we've got to get to a few things in the world of breaking news. First off, in the NBA, it looks like free agent guard J.J. Redick has agreed to stay with the Philadelphia 76ers. He has signed a one-year deal that is going to pay him right around $12 to $13 million. Now, Redick is 34, and he did have a huge impact on that young 76ers team last season. He averaged a career-best 17 points a game. J.J. Redick shot 42% from three-point range last year, and he averaged 18 points in 10 playoff games. But the thing about J.J. Redick that makes him so important to Philadelphia actually isn't the measurables. It's the fact that he showed these young guys how to play at this level, how to win at this level. Hey, they weren't used to winning games. Those young guys don't know how to win. J.J. Redick was way more than just points and three-point shooting to that Philadelphia team. I think they knew that. They signed him to a one-year deal. That is actually his second one-year deal. He's just going to keep taking these one-year deals. As long as you're going to pay him that kind of money, I think he's just going to keep taking those big one-year deals. One more story coming out in the world of sports. It's a little bit bizarre, but I did want to talk about it real briefly here. And that is rescuers apparently found all 12 boys and their soccer coach alive deep inside a partially flooded cave in northern Thailand late on Monday. That was more than a week after the team had disappeared and touched off a desperate search that drew international help and was captivating the nation of Thailand. Rescue divers had spent much of Monday making preparations for a final push to locate all the soccer players. These are boys aged 11 to 16, as well as their 25-year-old coach. I guess they disappeared when flooding trapped them when they entered a cave clear back on June 23rd. So they have been underground, trapped, buried for almost a week. Somehow they were all rescued and they are all alive, and it sounds like they're doing pretty well. Very, very thankful to see this young team be rescued, to see the coach be rescued. Everyone's coming out okay. That's a very, very cool story. That's kind of neat to see today in sports. Another thing that is cool, these are actually the last 13 people on the planet Earth that hadn't heard about LeBron James going to the Lakers. So, I mean, I guess now they know what they missed while they were under there. Hey, speaking of LeBron James going to the Lakers, that was the big news. That is what is on everyone's mind right now in the NBA. When we come back, we are actually going to take a look at a few of the winners and a few of the losers on that big move of LeBron James going to Los Angeles. Hey, before we get to the winners and losers from the LeBron James move out west, we did get an email that I wanted to read to you from one of our favorite listeners, and I thought it was kind of fitting that he actually emailed this here on our 300th show. I thought it would be kind of a good time to read this. You know, here at the Daily Dose, we pride ourselves on having smart listeners. Like, if you listen to the Dose, you're a little more informed. We don't just look at things surface level, get all emotional, get all crazy. We're going to look at things and try to dissect them, maybe have a little more common sense when we look at some of the things that come out in the world of sports. Here's an email that I got. I kind of thought y'all would appreciate this. Clint, I can't believe that LeBron James is coming to Los Angeles. But who is going to coach the Cleveland Cavaliers now? That is from Mike in SoCal. And hey, that's pretty funny. That is pretty funny because we all know, I think, what was going on back in Cleveland, don't we? We all know he was coaching that team. Yeah, now the Cavs are going to have to find themselves a new coach. Mike, thank you very much for the email. Glad that you sent that in. If you have some thoughts you'd like to send in, I would love to hear from you. Okay, let's get to some of the winners and some of the losers in that LeBron James move. LeBron James signs a 4-year, $154 million contract to move out west and join the Los Angeles Lakers, a franchise that knows something about winning. But who were the true winners and losers in this move? Because you might just sit there and say, well, this team's a winner and this team's a loser and this guy's a winner. That's not exactly how this all shapes out. Let's take a look at a few of the winners and losers in this big move. I've got a winner for you. And of course, the winner is the franchise, the Los Angeles Lakers. Because for the first time in what, 10, 12 years, the Los Angeles Lakers are actually relevant again. I don't know how they're going to do. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes, but they're actually on everyone's mind right now. They're actually in the news. Can you think of the last time anyone cared about the Los Angeles Lakers? Let's think back. Lonzo Ball? No. Lonzo Ball's dad saying some things in the media? Kobe Bryant blowing his Achilles? Honestly, when was the last time the Los Angeles Lakers were relevant at all whatsoever? Hey, say what you will right now. They are the hot topic of the day in the world of sports. Los Angeles Lakers are definitely a winner. Okay, so who's a loser? Obviously, we have to look first and foremost. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're probably going to be the big loser out of this, aren't they? And I know that Cleveland fans probably look at this, at least the intelligent ones look at this and say, hey, LeBron brought us a championship. We've never had a championship. Like, we had no expectations. We were just hoping to get something. He did at least deliver us a championship. And by he, I mean Kyrie Irving, of course. But Cleveland Cavaliers fans have to be looking at this and say, hey, thanks for the ride. Thanks for all that you did for us. Thanks for taking the Cavs to the finals all those years. Again, at the time that LeBron James has been playing for the Cavaliers, they have been highly relevant. That's not a bad thing. We might be forgetting about the Cavs for another 30, 40 years, right? Who's going to be watching the Cleveland Cavaliers now? Are they that interesting? Not really. Not without LeBron. Still, don't you kind of want to cheer for Cleveland? Like, wouldn't it kind of be funny to see if, like, Cleveland still went back to the NBA Finals this next year? And you saw, like, Kevin Love and Kyle Korver and George Hill and J.R. Smith, like, yeah, you know what? Now that we're kind of looking at this, it wasn't that hard. I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but we play in the East. Like, what did you think was going to happen? It's not that tough over here. I think the Cavs are going to be losers. I don't think they're going to be able to replicate the success that they had under LeBron James. So I'm going to put them as a loser. We'll kind of just wait and see. But I can't say that I won't be kind of cheering for him. Okay, I'm going to give another winner. And I'm going to give a winner to maybe someone you might not think of. I'm going to give a winner to Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue. Because, you know, Tyronn Lue has been having a number of anxiety-related health issues. Like, pretty serious stuff. He has missed games multiple times. And they're saying that he had a really, really hard time sometimes being on the bench. Some serious health concerns there. And, you know, I wonder if maybe it was because, hey, the Cavaliers had high expectations. If Cleveland doesn't make it to the playoffs, they're laughing stock. If they don't even make it to the finals, everyone's kind of looking at Cleveland going, come on. You got LeBron James. Like, Tyronn Lue, what are you doing? What happened? You know, every single year that LeBron's back there, they have basically said it is finals or bust. Well, with those expectations comes anxiety. And maybe that was what was wearing on Tyronn Lue. Or, I mean, maybe it was just because he had to deal with LeBron James. Well, good news, Coach Lue. You don't have to worry about either one of those things now because you're not dealing with LeBron James anymore and you're not dealing with any expectations whatsoever anymore. Just relax and coach your team. Go about things in a nice, relaxed fashion. You're going to be fine. I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give a loser to Los Angeles Lakers coach Luke Walton. Because if Luke Walton thought that LeVar Ball doubting his coaching ability was tough, yeah, just wait. Just wait until it's the big moment in the game and you're in the huddle and you've got the clipboard and LeBron elbows his way in, takes your clipboard, tells you to go sit down and draws up the winning play. Yeah, Luke Walton, it might not go real well for you. LeBron is a little bit tough on his coaches. Don't forget, he wanted to get rid of Eric Spoelstra down in Miami. Spoelstra is a pretty good coach. Luke Walton, you better have your stuff together. Because LeBron James is taking aim at you and your job. You know, like Mike in SoCal said, we all know who is coaching the Cavs. He's going to want to coach the Lakers too. Don't think that's going to change suddenly because you're out west. No, he's going to still want that job. I'm going to give a winner to the Boston Celtics, to the Philadelphia 76ers, to the Toronto Raptors, and basically just to the entire Eastern Conference. Because if there is a true winner on this whole LeBron James to LA move, yeah, it is the rest of the East, especially these three top teams. Because LeBron James has had a monopoly on that dreadful conference for years, and that monopoly has now been busted. Good news for those teams. Good news for the East. Now, the rumor that is out there is that the Boston Celtics are actually considering throwing a parade today to celebrate LeBron James leaving. I can neither confirm nor deny those rumors. I'm just saying those are the rumors that are out there. We'll go ahead and see if those are actually true. But that's what they're saying. Hey, if you're Toronto, if you're Philadelphia, if you're Boston, you have to be looking around saying, hey, we're as good as anybody over here. Especially with Boston and their young, talented team. The East is wide open now. I would think Boston is the team to beat over there, but the Eastern Conference is now wide open. It hasn't been wide open for a number of years. That's a very, very good thing. I'm going to give a loser out. And I've got to give a loser to a young member of the Los Angeles Lakers. You might be wondering who that is. To be honest, I don't know who that is. It's probably Brandon Ingram. I'm just going to throw that out there. So here is the question that I have about LeBron James going to Los Angeles. Okay, we know that we're already starting to look at this roster now, and we're starting to say things like, okay, they've got Lonzo Ball. They've got Brandon Ingram. They have Kyle Kuzma. And that's totally true. And those are young, talented players that could eventually be good someday. But here is my question for you. Which of these players will LeBron James completely wreck? Because I've got news for you. He has wrecked way better players than these guys. Chris Bosh and Kevin Love? They're better than anyone I just named. They might both be Hall of Famers someday. And LeBron James made them look like drunken toddlers out there on the basketball court. So who's he going to destroy now? I'm going to say Brandon Ingram. But like I said, it could be any of these young guys. We don't know. I just know this, for as amazing as LeBron James is as a player, he's not always that fun to play with. Like, he's really, really talented. He's really, really good. And he's also really, really hard sometimes to deal with on the basketball court. I don't know why it is, but it is. If you don't believe me, go ask Chris Bosh, who was a lead dog when he was in Toronto. He went down to Miami and everyone went, what's wrong with that guy? He's like broken. What happened to him? Yeah, you know what happened to him? LeBron James happened to him. He's probably going to do it to one of these young guys. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going to give a winner, and I'm going to give a winner to a guy that I wasn't sure if he was going to be a winner. I know that we are now hearing the, well, we knew that LeBron James was going to Los Angeles. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If you did, you would have said it. Especially come Saturday night, Sunday morning. Everything went quiet all of a sudden. When Chris Paul re-signed with the Rockets, okay, it's kind of a setback, but I mean, Chris Paul, he's going to stay in Houston. When Kevin Durant re-signed with the Warriors, I mean, we all kind of expected that, like he's really going to leave Golden State. But when Paul George re-signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, we're all starting to look around and say, yeah, it's a swing and a miss for Magic Johnson, the Los Angeles Lakers. Then on Sunday night, the news comes out that LeBron is coming to LA. It's all different. Hey, Magic Johnson, he's definitely a winner. He went out and he landed the big fish. Did he get a couple other smaller fish? No, he didn't. But he did go get LeBron James, and that is huge for LA. That is huge for that franchise. I mean, it went from Sunday afternoon, everyone saying, the Lakers may have struck out on everything, to all of a sudden, the city of Los Angeles is in a tizzy. They're crying. They're hugging each other. They're talking about where they were when they heard the news. I was actually at a ball game and someone just said it. I didn't even believe it. I couldn't believe it was true. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I'm trying to compare this to how excited Los Angeles fans were. Well, it was sort of like when OJ rode around in the back of that blood-covered Bronco. It was sort of like that. They were so excited. But hey, give credit to Magic Johnson. He got it done. He does need some more pieces, though. And speaking of that, I'm going to give my final loser. And I'm going to give this final loser to Lakers fans if your expectations are unrealistic. Like I said, Lakers fans right now are insanely excited about being relevant again. And I understand that. And yes, brush aside the fact that most Los Angeles fans have hated LeBron's guts and rooted specifically against him his entire career. Don't worry about that. Now, LeBron James gives the Los Angeles Lakers franchise some legitimacy, and they're excited about it. And hey, Lakers fans, enjoy it. You should be excited. But you'd better be very, very patient, because I know we're already starting to hear Laker fans calling in on the talk shows. Hey, yeah, I just wanted to know what day is the championship parade going to be this next year? Slow down, because I've got news for you. This Lakers team still has some huge flaws. Flaw number one, they can't shoot. They can't shoot a lick. This team shoots 34% from three-point range. Now, LeBron James will help that a little, but he can't be the only guy shooting. That's not going to work. Here's another problem with these Lakers. They can't defend. They allow 108 points per game. And here's one problem LeBron can't fix, because he's not going to help you defensively. LeBron doesn't even play defense. If you watched him at all in the finals, and sometimes even in the other Eastern Conference series, there are times LeBron doesn't even try to play defense. Here's another problem I have with the Lakers. You know, I actually like Lonzo Ball. I think he could have a very, very bright future, and I love the way he passes the ball. I think not only is he unselfish, but I think it also is kind of contagious to his teammates. Everyone starts passing. Everyone starts moving the ball. That's a very good thing. He could have a very bright future, but he is so weak physically, and he can't shoot a lick. That's a bad combination for a team, again, with LeBron James. Think of the point guards that he has had. Guys like Kyrie Irving. Guys like George Hill. Sometimes even someone like Dwayne Wade. Lonzo Ball is going to have to step up his game a lot before this team's going to be competitive. Now, I know you may be thinking, yeah, but think about Lonzo running the floor, pushing the break, and LeBron getting out and running the lanes. Yeah, LeBron doesn't run. That's not a thing. He doesn't play that way. He's never played that way. He likes to walk it up. He likes to pound the ball, and he likes to back guys down. It's not going to be a run and gun Showtime Lakers offense. That isn't how LeBron works. That's not going to happen. This Lakers team is going to need more pieces. And no, Rajon Rondo, who I actually do like, and JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson are not going to be quite enough. The fact that Los Angeles signed Lance Stephenson to a one-year, $4.5 million deal It's getting totally overlooked because of LeBron signing. That's a horrible deal, though. Lance Stephenson is a minimum contract guy. If not for the LeBron signing, everyone would be going, they signed who for what? That sounds like fake news. JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson. Who signed them? Oh, we did. Yes, you did. And those aren't going to be pieces that are going to pay huge dividends, most likely. Now, if Laker fans look at this situation realistically and they say, hey, if we make the playoffs, cool. If we add a few more pieces, cool, we're going to get better. And if we are a contender in 3 to 4 years, yes, that's what we're looking for. But if you think right now the Los Angeles Lakers are title contenders, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed. This Lakers team right now, they're probably not as good man for man as that Cavaliers team just was. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather have right now, not later, right now? Who would you rather have, George Hill or Lonzo Ball? I'd take George Hill. More experienced. He's tougher. Kevin Love or Kyle Kuzma? Eventually Kuzma, but right now it's not even close. I'd take Kevin Love in a heartbeat. Kyle Korver or Brandon Ingram? Again, right now, Ingram's got a bright future, but Korver's a deadly shooter. And here's the problem. You're not in the East. You're in the West, and the West is loaded. Golden State, Houston, New Orleans, Utah, Portland, Oklahoma City, and then you have teams like Minnesota, Denver, even Dallas, Sacramento, Phoenix. They're all improving. Hey, Laker fans, enjoy the LeBron James signing, but also understand this. LeBron James is waving the white flag to Golden State and saying, hey, I'm going to have to rebuild a team, and it's going to take some time. If you do that, you might enjoy the ride. If you don't, you're probably going to be disappointed. Hey, coming back, like we said earlier, tomorrow is the 4th of July, which is Independence Day here in the United States. If we were to pick out one athlete to represent all that is good, bad, and indifferent about this goofy country we live in, who would we select? Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. July's Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Team Up, and it features items from Ant-Man vs. Wasp, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Adventure Time. It also comes with not one, but two t-shirts in this crate. The best part, of course, about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure that you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose. You know, the United States of America is a funny place. Rock flag and eagle! And tomorrow, this nation is going to celebrate our independence by, you know, overeating and blowing things up, which you might be listening and say, is that really that different from what you just do on a typical Wednesday? No, it's not, but that's not the point. Tomorrow will just be a little bit more of that. Like I said, America is an interesting place. What would you expect from a country that was literally founded by people who didn't want to be told what to do? I mean, think about that. The founders of this country were rebels that didn't want to be taxed by people that they hadn't elected, so they threw all their tea into the harbor, and the rest, as they say, is history. But you know, I started thinking about people that kind of sum up the United States of America for me. And more specifically, I started thinking about athletes that kind of sum up the United States of America to me. And I came up with a few people that I think kind of capture the spirit of America. Here is a list of guys that I came up that kind of personify America, both the good and the bad. Now, I suppose we could start off our search with someone like Captain America himself, Roger Staubach, clean cut. He even served time in the Navy before his professional football career. Now, Staubach captures the spirit that a good portion of America wants to think we are. He did win a lot. Staubach won 75% of the games he played in. He did lose 2 Super Bowls, but he also won 2 Super Bowls. Now, here's my problem, though, with Staubach as our representation. His image is probably just a little too squeaky clean. Like, we like to think of ourselves that way here in America, but it's not entirely accurate. We're a little more complex, I guess is a nice way to say that. Honestly, we're a little more corrupt, a little more rude. You know, it's not all pretty is what I'm saying. Okay, so who is the guy that I very first thought of when I started making this list? Because I actually thought of someone very specific who captures what being an American is all about. Now, don't laugh when I say this, but here's who I thought of. Charles Barkley. He's loud. He's opinionated. Remember when Team USA had that original dream team and went to Barcelona back in 1992? Charles Barkley went to Spain. He just personified America, at least in basketball. Loud, brash, punching opponents in the chest.
How much do you know about Angola, the guy that you would be playing there? And
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Oh, and also, by the way, he completely dominated those games. He was probably the MVP of the Dream Team. Plus, I mean, you know, he's kind of fat. He's a little nuts. He could totally be the guy. My only problem with making Charles Barkley our kind of new Captain America is the fact that he didn't ever win a title. Say what you will about America, we are a world power. We have won some titles. So sorry, Charles Barkley can't be the guy. Maybe though, maybe the guy isn't even a guy. Maybe the new Captain America is a female. And we do need someone who has won a little bit. And when I think of someone who has won, I think of someone like Serena Williams, who is one of the most dominant athletes in any generation ever. I mean, Serena Williams holds the record for most Grand Slam wins by a tennis player in the open era. And you might not realize it, but she came from a pretty interesting background. Serena Williams was born in Saginaw, Michigan. She's the youngest of five daughters. Now, when the children were young, their family actually moved to Compton, California, where Williams started playing tennis at the age of three. Her father actually homeschooled Serena and her sister Venus. Then they both went on at the age of nine to attend tennis academy. You know what though? It actually might feel like too much success. I mean, America has taken some losses. It can't all be wins. Sorry, Serena, you can't be our new Captain America. You know, I struggle with that same reason naming someone like, I don't know, Michael Jordan. Although I did consider him. When Jordan came out of North Carolina, Nike was struggling to stay ahead of Adidas. They were really struggling to stay ahead of Converse. Converse had Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Julius Erving, and Mark Aguirre already wearing their shoes. But Jordan wanted to see something progressive. Converse was kind of maxed out, so he went to Nike, which wasn't known at all in basketball. They were kind of a track shoe. And of course, Nike exploded with the Jordan brand.
Yo, Mars Blackman here with my main man, Michael Jordan. Yo, Mike, what makes you the best player in the universe? Is it the vicious dunks?
No, Mars.
Is it the haircut?
No, Mars.
Is it the shoes?
No, Mars.
Is it the extra long shorts?
No, Mars.
It's the shoes then, right?
Nah.
But again, financially, Michael Jordan's just too good. And even in his career, he never lost an NBA Finals. He never even went to a Game 7. So even though we've seen some misses from Michael Jordan lately, like, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, the roasting of everyone at his infamous Hall of Fame acceptance speech, and whatever that Hitler mustache was that he tried to bring back, I think MJ still brings a little too much to the table. Michael Jordan has an estimated worth of $1 billion with a B dollars. I mean, America's good, but we're not that good. Okay, so who else could we make our new Captain America? We could make Patriot Tom Brady our new guy. I mean, he's had a bunch of success. He's the only NFL quarterback to win five Super Bowls, and he's also lost three times now too. He does have the cheating accusations. That's kind of good. One other point in his favor, he has that whole kissing his son on the mouth for way too long thing, so that kind of fits the Southern aspect, you know, of our culture. So when I'm looking at Tom Brady, he has a few things that make him a good candidate, but here's the problem that I have. He has a few things working against him. And mostly, he has his bazillionaire model wife, Giselle. I mean, America doesn't have a rich partner. We certainly don't have a partner worth way more than us. And no, China doesn't count. That's not a partnership. That's a we owe them money. Plus, Tom Brady has really, really good leadership in head coach Bill Belichick. Name the last time America had great leadership. What, Lincoln? So Brady has some help that I'm not sure the country we live in inherently has. Makes him kind of a bad choice in my book. I mean, how many times have we seen his teammates step up and win the game for him? Adam Vinatieri, Malcolm Butler, Dante Hightower, Pete Carroll. America hasn't had other countries coming to save our butts when we haven't looked so good. I mean, we're not France. Who else could we put up there? I'm trying to think of someone else that could be our new Captain America. Walter Payton? I think he's too wholesome. Lawrence Taylor? Yeah, he's not wholesome enough, and geez, that's saying something. Hope Solo? She has the violence part, but no one cares about soccer. Ty Cobb? Probably too racist. Mark McGuire? Too performance enhanced. Drew Brees? Too little. Shaquille O'Neal, too big. Cal Ripken Jr., too hardworking. I'm telling you, it's tough. It's tough to come up with someone, but I think I've got someone. I think I have someone in mind, and it's not going to be popular. I'll tell you that right now. I've got a guy that just might fit everything. This guy was great. He was the best in the world for a number of years. He was talented. He was brash. He was cocky, and he was a lot tougher than he probably gets credit for. At the same time, he was also highly controversial. He was very, very divisive. He didn't like to be told what to do. He didn't want to just go along with the crowd. And it wasn't all good. It wasn't that he was just great and he was better than everyone else. He could be mean. He could be cruel. He was especially cruel to one specific opponent, and it even got a little bit weirdly racial. Yeah, that kind of works for this situation, doesn't it? Later in his career, he was getting by mostly on just his name, but he was still able to keep winning. For all of his flaws, he was still able to be better than most. You might know who I'm talking about, and this is who I am going to name our new Daily Dose Captain America.
Wait a second. A man has the right to change his name to whatever he wants to change it to. And if a man wants to be called Muhammad Ali, this is a free country, you should respect his wishes and call the man Muhammad Ali.
His mama named him Clee. I'ma call him Clee.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I say Clee.
Hey, no show tomorrow for the July 4th holiday, but we will have something very, very special for you on Thursday, so make sure that you keep tuning into The Daily Dose. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Dose, for all of you that share the show, for all of you that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us. Like I said earlier in the show, thank you. It is very, very appreciated. Thank you for the past 300 episodes. I've had a great time doing this. I hope that you are enjoying The Daily Dose. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this. And I promise you, I couldn't have done 300 episodes without you. Have a great Tuesday and have a very happy and safe 4th of July.